The Words of Mormon. This is a one chapter book also, and the reason that this book is in here is explained by Mormon right in the beginning, and that is that he is now switching over to take his record from another set of plates. And so he's just saying that. Well, we would think that therefore he's taking it from the plates that only concern wars and the contentions, and so therefore the rest is not important. Well, there's numerous things that tell us obviously that's not true. That again, the Book of Mormon is only the selected words from Mormon. But more than that, to set the stage right off, the first thing that will be taken next will be this story of King Benjamin and his tremendous address about the Savior. And this dissertation he gives to his people is the best in the Book of Mormon concerning our relationship with the Savior and how we should view him. And so to think that therefore that's only about wars and contentions and not of value is ridiculous. So in verse 5, we see where Mormon continues to worry that he's only got 100th part of what he could record. He says, you know, he just uses the word 100th to mean that it's just such a minuscule part. And he says down in 6, why? Because they are all choice unto him. So therefore, we have the choice of the choice of the choice here. For someone to say, oh well, the rest of the Book of Mormon is just about the wars and the battles, is he's making it very clear here that he has given us the most choice things, and the choice things how? According to the Spirit. In verse 7 he says he makes the record. First he says that he makes it because the Spirit tells him to. And he says he really doesn't know why, that his love is only towards his brother, that he still is only doing it for the purpose of the Lord. And now this is important to understand, that his desire is to do what he's told according to the Spirit, but he doesn't have to be told why. And then it finishes that verse that says it's according to the Lord's will. Meaning it's not his will or his desire. It's totally the Lord's will. So he doesn't have to know why and what's important to him, that he's doing the Lord's will. And this sets up an important thing for us to understand. And then we have the third aspect of that comes in verse 9, when he says that how he does it. He does it according to how the Lord tells him. Again, we get told to do something, the Lord tells us to do his work, and immediately we decide how it ought to be done. Well, with Mormon, he did it how the Lord said, or according to the Spirit's direction. And that's how we should govern our lives. We're not sitting there and think that the Book of Mormon just tells us about some special men that they only get these kind of experiences in their lives. These are all examples to us. And in the Book of Mormon talks about holy prophets and all sorts of other righteous people in the land. And so it's not just a few people. Just a few people have these experiences. Those who are the true followers of Christ all will have the experiences that Mormon is talking about here. And he is really explaining the way you obtain those. And how do you obtain those? First, you follow the Spirit and do what the Spirit says. And then you do it according to the Lord's will, not your own will. And the way you do it is according to the Lord's direction, not the way you think it ought to be done. And this, again, makes it clear that what you're really doing is turning yourself over to the Lord. Well, then it goes on to talk about some contentions, and that there's a lot of contention in the land, and that there began to be false Christs, and that they were punished according to their crimes. Now, what were their crimes? I mean, they could preach and lie. We see later they can get away with their preaching, so what did they do? Well, they actually began to do things that were against the law of Moses. For instance, the common thing that they liked to always preach was adultery. And this kind of thing, and adultery is against the law of Moses. Just because we don't punish it today doesn't mean that it's therefore right. And that was a grievous sin that they did not want amongst a righteous society. And it was a grievous sin against families and people, and directly against humans, and caused them great problems, and they had a right to be protected from that. Well, anyway, these were the kind of crimes, the crimes were crimes against the law of Moses. And again, you're not allowed to lie under the law of Moses, and in a righteous society, that's a criminal offense to lie. then they said there was all sorts of false other things that coming, meaning teachers and everything. But also there was many holy prophets. We're down around verse 15 and 16. Well, there are many holy prophets in the land. Now, again, we have to ask ourselves that. You can feel that. You can see the sense of that. It is not talking about an administrative prophet that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints claims to be the prophets in the land. It's not talking about these administrators who don't prophesy, who don't revelate, who don't do any of the other things that that prophets are supposed to do. But these men were in the land, and they were all over, and obviously you can feel that they were directly called of God to go out and preach His Word and to represent Him. And they proved they were prophets. I mean, they prophesied, and the prophecies came about, and they revelated things from their scripture. And the point is that these were men that they became prophets due to their deeds and their and a direct call from the Lord, not because that man can choose them administratively. But notice how they speak to the people in verse 17. They speak with sharpness. Well, there's a good sign here. We spoke with sharpness to the people? No, we're pacified and flattered by those who claim to be prophets today. Yea, indeed, the leaders of the Mormon church are false prophets. They claim to be a prophet, but they have usurped the power and authority of Christ, and their fate is awful. Because it's not just usurping the power and authority and control over man and dominion, but they've usurped it in the name of Jesus Christ and usurping His power. And it is it's an evilness. And nonetheless, every sign of the Book of Mormon shows that they are not prophets. Now, we watched Ezra Taft Benson, and we saw that he did speak with sharpness. But when he did, he was turned aside, and he wasn't listened to by all the people and all the other leaders of the church. Nonetheless, by their constant work of this sharpness, that is how they were able to establish peace in the land. Having done that, then this sets the stage for us to return to the record of the dealings of the Nephites.